What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast, your glycerine podcast from Bush. Andy, let me hear it.
Don't let those days go by. And imagine just rain falling down. And you're wondering, is he going to get electrocuted because of the guitar? What are the electronics involved here? This cannot be safe. Are we about to watch Gwen Stefani's husband die?
Ex-husband now, man. You know what I mean? But it was that thing. He was so pure. Gavin Rossdale was so pure. The electricity couldn't touch him. Like in Ernest Goes to Camp, where the warrior was so fierce, the arrows could not touch him. Mike Drucker knows what I'm saying. He remembers Ernest Goes to Camp.
I do. I love the Ernest movies. The man died. I almost said we don't have enough of them, but he died.
That was enough.
He did what he could.
You know what I mean? You really got to blame Jim Varney for dying these two. That's really what killed it. That series could have been something if he hadn't been so selfish as to pass.
It's time we rebooted it. We got to reboot Ernest.
We've got to be right around the corner from it, Mike. You've got your finger on the pulse of Hollywood. I feel like any second now, there's some comedian who could come out and be the new Ernest.
Sure.
Who are we going to cast as Ernest right now in the Ernest movie, the new Ernest movie?
Yeah,
who
that's a good question. Because we really need to think about modern times. We need to think about like the what would be the Ernest sensibilities in 2021.
Now, I'm going
to
throw this out there.
But I think we need to start from the locations he would go and then work back.
Camp. He's going back to camp. He's going back to prison. He's going back to that. Those are the only two I remember. So help me out here. Help me out, Mike Drucker.
Ernest goes to camp.
Christmas. Yeah. Ernest goes to Christmas.
Space.
Yeah.
Did he go to space?
Oh, yeah. I remember the.
Did he go to space?
No, you know what? I'm thinking of Rocket Man. The movie Rocket Man. This like the poster of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I remember Rocket Man. I don't.
The poster, for some reason, I always thought it was a.
Looks like Iron Man. Ernest. Looks like an old Iron Man comic book.
Yeah. The only scene I remember from Rocket Man, that's with Harlan Williams, right?
Yes.
Is where he farts in the spacesuit and it goes through a tube to another spacesuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing I remember. It's just a fart joke in a spacesuit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not thinking about that movie. I'm thinking Rocketeer.
I was thinking Rocketeer too, but I was thinking Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic, and then I was thinking Rocketeer, and then I was like, "How much you love the soundtrack from Rocketeer?" That's how
none of us have seen the same movies.
That's why I said it looks like an old. It looks like an old Iron Man comic book. The Rocketeer poster. That's what it reminds me of.
All right, Kevin has brought up the Ernest Goes to Camp collection here.
Oh, great.
Ernest Saves Christmas, of course. Ernest, we're getting stupid.
Greg, you think we're getting a 4K UHD remaster of this?
I hope so.
Color graded all correctly.
I think that's the biggest thing. Kevin, I sent to assets just a photo of Ernest. Toss that up there because I want that on the forefront of our mind. All right. I want us to look at Jim Varney here and think about Ernest and think about like who in 2021 could play this man.
I'm throwing this out there as a thought starter.
I'm sorry.
Like go ahead.
By the way, Tim, we have who should play Ernest in the Ernest reboot. that's the headline with Mike Drucker. All right, you put that in there, all right?
Yeah,
you look at this man right here. You look at this Jim Varney. And we'll see if that actually ends up being the headline and the thumbnail.
I'll tell you who I'm going to go with.
Thank you.
I'm going to throw out a suggestion who can play Jim Varney. And it's going to be one that the hardest of hardcore Ernest fans will revolt against. I'll say no.
Sure.
You kidding me? Just similar to Heath Ledger and the Joker. There will be outcries in the street. People will be angry. I'm going to go with, this is a weird one. I don't know why I just thought of this. Justice Smith from the Pokemon movie.
Huh.
I feel like he's going to pop up on screen and we're all going to go.
I get it.
Wow, this guy, I didn't know this guy had it in him. Good
right,
for him.
Right, right. Know?
What
you don't think the comedic chops necessarily? Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw out probably what I would say is just a much better suggestion, given that this person has comedic chops, and we were just talking about him on John Wick and being very underutilized in the entire franchise. I'm gonna throw out Jason Mudzoukas.
Oh my!
Because I think he would be amazing as Ernest.
Sure.
Come on,
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, our first woman Ernest. We're ready for it. We're ready for the first woman Ernest. It's like
I feel like that's insulting to women everywhere.
We don't want this.
No, we don't need this.
We didn't ask for this. We don't want this. This is terrible.
To be clear, though, I think that's in line with it, though. Like, did people want the Ernest movies? We took them happily, but that's not what anyone was like looking for, clamoring for. I'll give them credit. Like, were they the first cinematic universe? Like, that's pretty damn cool. That it's like, you know, a bunch of movies that aren't titled like 2, 3, 4. It's like, no, it's just in this universe.
Right.
But I'm going to throw out the obvious choice that, again, he's so perfect for this because it's we don't want it, but it would be right, and it's Kevin Hart.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
That's like a little too obvious, Tim, but it's kind of perfect. Yeah.
But here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. Because he's got such a big rivalry with another huge star, there's no way you're keeping The Rock out of this now. So if Kevin Hart goes up for the role, you know The Rock has. He can't take that hit to his ego. He's got to be Ernest.
Well, you
now.
See, here's the thing. I have a way to solve all of this right there. All right. Is you get Kevin Hart, you cast him as the new Ernest, right? And then, as we all remember, of course, we remember the Ernest movies. He's always talking to Vern. Hey, Vern. Hey, Vern. And Vern was never on camera, right? At the very end, like the mid-credit scene is, hey, Vern. And they fling the camera around and it's The Rock. And he's just sitting there all pissed off at Kevin Hart, AKA Ernest.
And it's a whole cinematic universe where a year later, it's Vern and his perspective through the whole movie, and it's like an action film where he has to go to a video game.
I like where your head's at, but as you know, how can we get this into the streaming ecosystem? Can we have the Vern perspective be an HBO Max series? Are you open to that, Nick?
I'm 100% open to that. And as you know, The Rock has a YouTube channel through, I believe, 7 Bucks Productions or whatever his production company is called. So I'm pretty sure he could make that happen immediately. And also HBO Max hurting for content. So I'm sure they take any pitches right now. I think this would be great. Yeah.
Our DCEU slate coming next year.
Just going back to the well every single time. Another Batman movie. Let's make another Batman movie.
So, Nick, your argument for that is let's get him Ernest.
I'm saying, man.
Doesn't have enough, but
yeah. No one talked about the quality of it, right? We just need more HBO Max content.
Listen, if they can bring back and legitimately make me cry watching Cobra Kai, I think you could do something awesome with Ernest. But I mean, I'll also say this, Tim. Back in the day, I can't remember a single Ernest Goes to Whatever movie, and I distinctly remember watching them even when I was a kid, going, these are just objectively terrible films. I don't like this. I don't like this character. I don't want any of this. But my parents, of course, being a child of the 80s, the TV was my babysitter. So whatever was on was just what I had to watch.
Yeah.
I have the perfect idea.
Go for it.
I have the perfect idea. Similar to the movie that was made about Bob Dylan, I'm Not Here. But it's a bunch of different actors all playing Ernest in different times of his life. And so it's sort of like a docudrama sort of thing. We see maybe young Ernest, and as they get older, I'm thinking like
Ernie.
Again, Justice Smith, Ernie. Leslie Jones. What'd you say?
He went by Ernie then.
Oh, Ernie's young. A kid. That's right. I'm thinking Justice Smith. I'm thinking Leslie Jones. I'm thinking Kristen Wiig. I'm thinking Kevin Hart. We can have all sorts of different people in Hollywood playing Ernest at different points in his life. Maybe it's a 6-part series, 2 hours long, each episode.
Right now on twitter.com/gameovergreggy, the preeminent Twitter for all Ernest things, I have said, do you want an Ernest reboot? Right now, no is winning with 47% of the vote. 18% yes, and then 34% show me the results. But here is where I want, all right? We're sitting here Andy over here. Shocking, you know what I mean? I want to give you the 2021 taste you could have of Ernest, all right? Because Chef Boyardee here responds, Ernest defeats COVID. Now that's I would sign up for that one. And then Corey Barlog says, Ernest saves democracy.
See, that's what I'm saying.
We could use Ernest.
We're not sending him back to jail. We're not sending him back to camp. We need a man's Ernest. We need somebody to come here and get some.
Who could be
done.
A lady?
I feel like Ernest saves democracy with just Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
That's fair
so
too.
True.
Very Tom
true.
Hanks.
Very true.
Tom Hanks is Ernest.
You weren't on this stream with us. Andy was maybe at this point, but nobody else on the stream was yesterday when we were playing over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. I got to break some news over there. I had watched News of the World, the new Tom Hanks flick, right?
Like Tom Hanks, still alive. He
immediately went. I contacted Tom Hanks's people. And I said, hey, I watched News of the World. I would love to have Tom Hanks on the Kinda Funny podcast. Let me know what you need. We're streaming yesterday. Email pops. Ba-dunk. It's about the Tom Hanks thing. I click on it, and it was a very nice rejection letter. But we got in front of him for a second. You know what I mean? Somebody connected to Tom Hanks understands there's a podcast going on over here. Nick Scarpino, kindoffunny.com.
Can you tell them, perhaps this would happen in the follow-up email, could you tell them that the other day,
you will regret this.
You motherfuckers. No, I was going to say, tell them that I watched Forrest Gump the other day because apparently AMC is playing like all these amazing Tom Hanks movies. Sure, I also watched Apollo 13, fantastic as well. Great movie. Forrest Gump, one of those movies. you can't start watching unless you watch the whole thing. It just, you start and it doesn't matter where it's at. It was the part where he was talking about Bubba Gump Shrimp, and there's that asshole that's sitting on the bench with him. He's like, boy, you trying to tell me you're the one who started Bubba Gump Shrimp? Now I've seen everything. You've been sitting
next to a millionaire this whole time.
And then Forrest Gump just happens to have his picture from like Time Magazine with him or whatever it was. It's so
Andy,
good,
what do you guys say about Forrest Gump? What are the hot RGV takes on Forrest Gump?
Can you also tell the press reps that a week before quarantine started, before we knew really how severe everything was going to be, Nick said, do you think Tim Hanks or Tom Hanks told his wife Hanks for nothing?
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. All the time.
That was something Nick said.
God. Mike Drucker, welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. It's been too long, sir.
It has. How are you guys doing?
We're this good. Well. Mike, we've done well to the point that Greg emailed Tom Hanks's people, whatever that means, and he'll take it as a win that Tom Hanks' people know, so we need to have a podcast. Like,
you guys also have.
That's the victory we're taking here.
You guys also have like 3 years of inside jokes that I have missed by not paying attention.
That's okay. Who was it? Andy, you were talking about the other day where someone was like, hey, I watch every single piece of KF content and I still don't understand any of the inside jokes. Yeah.
That's true.
It's better that way.
I'm on the content and I don't understand it. Speaking of like ongoing kind of funny things that have happened or not happened that have now officially happened. Many, many moons ago in this quarantine, I ordered something online.
Oh my God.
I didn't think I was actually going to get it.
Okay. Oh,
but it finally arrived.
The nugget.
The chicken nugget body pillow. Oh, from Travis Scott.
Oh my goodness. How much does that cost?
So much. It's cost me about $80.
Okay.
It's going on eBay right now for over $500.
Wow. Wow.
You have movie theater behind you. Do you need the money? Like, you literally have a movie theater at home.
I ain't selling this. I ain't selling it at all. This thing is going to make us famous. Gia at her job right now has a show and tell thing they're doing because I guess we're all adults here. She's taking the nugget from me right now. This thing's making the rounds. It's going to make us rich and famous all at once.
I love it. I love it, Nick.
Now they're only going for $500 on eBay. What are you thinking? We going for about three? Get a little six pack. I think we need three nuggies
for sure. I think at least 1,500 with tax and fees and all that stuff.
It's very large.
Before we get any further off track, that's how well it's going for us, Mike. How well is it going for you? I heard you just wrote a book.
I did. I wrote a book, everybody. I don't know if you can see this or not, but it's silent. It's a book about Silent Hill 2 for Boss Fight Books. It is a great game. I know the guy. I met Gabe, who runs the publishing house, and he was like, do you ever want to pitch one? And I pitched Parappa the Rapper, and he said no. And so then I said Silent Hill 2, and he said yes. So that's
what we can sell.
That's interesting for me because I was thinking about this today in the shower, as I often do. I was like, Mike Drucker wrote a book, one of the Boss Key books. Like, that's awesome. Silent Hill 2. Like, out of all games, that's not one I would have paid you for. Perhaps the wrap-up makes a lot more sense. Yeah. But I need to ask, why Silent Hill 2?
It came like sort of my senior year of college. So I think I was going through a lot at the time. And it's also like, I think the first kind of horror game that I played that felt, I don't know, it felt like the story was mature. Again, I was 18 when I first played it, so a lot of things felt mature, but like it felt like a very small personal story. And it came out at the same time as like Metal Gear Solid 2, which had this giant international conspiracy story. So for me, that Silent Hill, like really personal, sad story really hit home for me.
So I think a lot of people, you know, obviously in our industry, you hear about boss fight books all the time. A whole bunch of different ones have been. Mm-hmm. I have a smattering of them around here. Of course, I'll pick yours up. For people who don't know, what are these books? You know what I mean? Are they just personal essays? Are you trying to, are you interviewing people? What did you do with yours?
Mine, well, they're basically, if you haven't heard of Boss Fight books, you probably heard of 33 and a Third, which are those small books about individual albums, music albums. This is basically that for video games, where they have different authors write their own analysis of it. And some people write very personal stories about how the game affected their life. Some people write very literary analyses of it. Some people do the history. Mine's probably like half history, one third or one half, like maybe half history, half analysis, just a little bit of personal stuff to contextualize. But I spent more time sort of analyzing it. I used my master's degree. So that's nice. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Someone did. That's crazy. You might be the first person in history. That's really cool.
I used it for $40,000. Definitely $40,000, baby.
And I see they're charging $4.95 for these books. So yes. We don't need to sell too much to make it up. So just everyone, 10, get on 000. It.
Yeah. I need everyone to buy a copy because I'm going to die if I don't.
The stakes are high for this.
The stakes
one.
Are really high. I owe a lot of bad people money.
I understand. Well, yeah, you're still out in New York, right? I mean, here it's loaded with bad people. That's what it's I know loaded. About New York. You know, Ninja Turtles, ghosts, and bad people out there.
You don't know like how many like the greatest pleasure of New York is still like when you're walking late at night and you're like Big Apple, 3 a.m. It's like the best feeling. Remember in Turtles in Time, it just feels yeah. It's so beautiful.
That's right, that's awesome.
I'm 36.
I envy you.
36.
Mike, if somebody somehow doesn't know you, if they're a new kind of funny person, they've stumbled into us in 2020 like a lot of people did. Now they've stuck around for 2021. Who are you, Mike Drucker?
I am a comedian and comedy writer. I currently am the co-head writer and co-executive producer of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. And I met Greg because I worked at IGN writing funny videos for him.
That's right. You did the Up at Noon.
That was such an easy job.
so easy that in your little blurb on the about your book, like IGN is not even close to being mentioned. Like you have so many different accolades, so many different things you've done. Yeah, I love
now,
that.
Now, Mike, was it easy because there was zero expectation of success for any of the shows that you were writing on at IGN?
I think, first of all, the production team had to do a lot of hard work, and I didn't, so that was already a success. I think... Also, do you remember the guy, what was his name, Grant?
Oh,
the
yeah.
The guy
yeah.
who, like, ran it?
Never forget Grant. Hollywood Grant.
Hollywood Grant. I ran into him a few years ago at a WGA meeting, and he writes Hallmark movies now.
There is no better fitting end to this story than Grant Thompson writing Lifetime movies in 2021. I love that. Hell yeah. Live your best life.
But I think, like, after he sort of, like, was like, I don't know what we're doing and just ghosted us, I was like, we'll just have fun with it.
Yes. There was that wonderful moment where, like, the bottom dropped out and the clock started ticking when we could just do anything. And that was such a beautiful 6-month period. And then I'll never forget, Drucker was like, hey, guys, so I'm leaving. And me and Greg were both like, that makes sense. Yeah,
right. you're where are you going now? You're like, I'm going to go to the Jimmy Fallon. Like, God damn it. That from Jimmy Fallon. Fucking hell. That was
I've always been interested in that portion of it, Mike, where, like, how do you
You don't want to know more about the IGN stuff? You want to hear more Up at Noon stories?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the IGN stuff.
I thought you were taking a dig at us. You're like, I've always been way more interested in the Jimmy Fallon part.
No, because I guess with... You know, with these fucking hooligans working at IGN, I've always seen it as, you know, the first version of Kind of Funny, right? Where it's just people just figuring it out along the way. And I know that you wrote there, but I don't even know what the structure of that looks like. What was their structure? How do you, what do you plan? It just always felt like it was kind of very fly by night.
It was very fly by night still. But we wrote a whole monologue. We would write sketches and shoot them. There was like a fair amount of prep work. It wasn't like terrible. It was fun to do. We just, a bunch of us sat in a room and made jokes, but it was actually a fair amount of prep work. Crazily enough, although again the production team had to suffer through that, we were just like, I don't know, we want to shoot on the roof, and then they would go do that. Nice.
I have a joke about the roof.
I have a joke about
we're gonna get them up there. Get 15 things.
We had no budget, so whatever Mike would write had to revolve around a parking structure, a roof, or an elevator. The elevator, like 6 months in, Pablo was like, you guys, please stop using the elevator, because people would try to get in and it would just be Greg shirtless with like Brian Altano wearing sunglasses and me with the camera. It's like what are you guys filming in here?
Like the ESPN commercials. Those are the
best. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's what we were going for a long time to survive. Yeah.
It was so fun though.
It was a super fun time.
For the writer stuff, and I remember, like, you know, we had that contract with YouTube for that first year. And I remember for somebody who had been at IGN for as long as I had at that time and seen so many different ideas fail and so many different projects be shoestring, I'll never forget when everybody was so in on Sartre. And then when we would do those meetings, Mike, and it would be the table read, and it would be 15 fucking people in the room. Yeah. You would outsource jokes from like 7 different comedians across the country. I would read 4 different versions of a joke till we found the right one, and everybody's laughing great. I ran it. I have a photo of it from when that guy was following me around documenting my cancer. And like there's this great shot of everyone in the room reacting to it. And then you juxtapose that to the final, I mean, after the money was gone and you left and everything, final run of Up at Noon, where it'd be me and Brian in there at a whiteboard, Nick would come in with an apple halfway through and be like, "You guys got the show?" We're like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, we'll just leave."
Because at that point, it had become apparent that we were just, the show was what it was going to be. And it had kind of like,
right.
You know, it was like it was running its course and we needed to kind of figure out what was going to be well with it.
It's like when Mike left, the teacher left, and the class didn't really know how to handle it. And they're like, "Yeah, it's going to be fun." And then like 3 weeks in, they're like, "Oh, we actually, we're kind of worried." We don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other side of it was IGN was like, for the first time because of the YouTube start money, just like, we're going to hire someone to be funny and to write funny things. And it's like, holy shit. Like, that is so far beyond anything IGN's ever done before. Totally. It's like, we're doing something outside of just sitting there and talking about a video game. Like, what? That's crazy. And then, yeah, then once he left and the budget left and all that, it was just like, well, what should we do? I don't know. Let's sit around ranking things. It's like, cool. Here we are.
I'll never forget when Mike left. It was like, I got an offer from Jimmy Fallon. I think our counter offer to you was, we'll pay you exactly the same, but we'll give you more flaming hot Cheetos or like Cheez-Its, whatever. I just slid a box of Tabasco Cheez-Its across the desk. I'm like, eh? And you're like, no, dude, I'm going to New York. Fuck off.
Nope. Wait. I remember, when we hired Mike, I remember the interview. Him and I were in one of those little conference rooms for about 10 minutes talking about games. And I was like, all right, yeah, you're cool, but I have you for another 15 minutes. Do you want to go eat waffles? And you're like, yeah. And like Nick's was making waffles. We just walked over and ate waffles at my desk.
Was it like December 23rd or Christmas Eve even? It was right before Christmas.
Something ridiculous like that. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And you had come from Nintendo, right?
I was at Nintendo.
Prior. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's I loved working at Nintendo. I think what made me eventually leave was it's just, you know, when you're localizing, it's a very creative job to localize, but it's still someone else's work you're localizing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to do my own thing.
Well, I just remember being super impressed because you were the first real writer that had sort of come into our environment. I mean, like comedy writer, right? Like obviously Greg and the guys like, you know, Greg.
Oh, no one takes offense at that. I think everyone knows exactly what you mean.
Yeah. But so like, you know, the job path for IGN had been prior to that, like, you know, you either got a journalism degree and then started writing for smaller places and then worked your way up to IGN. You were the first person who I was like, wait a minute, you're like a gun for hire. And it was so cool to see you go from Nintendo, and you, I think, if I remember correctly, had written like for The Onion and stuff like that too, or no?
I've written for The Onion, freelance for SNL.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then you work, you had that history of SNL working under Seth Meyers. And I was like, what the fuck? This is a thing. Like prior to this, I'm like, I've only read about people like you. This is so cool. And then you came in, and then I was like, well, clearly this guy is going to like this guy's going to elevate all of us. And you quickly were like, this has been great, guys. I had a great time. I'll see you later. And then peace out to a real show. And it was great. And then I started watching Jimmy Fallon again. I was like, cool. Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, there was that. I remember we started watching Ted Lasso the other day. And when we were watching it, I was watching it, and Jason Statham is up there. And I was like, why do I remember him? And I'm like, oh, yeah. When Drucker worked on the ESPYs, he ran into him backstage in Jason Sudeikis, and it was like all this stuff about how he liked IGN and like remembered my Uncharted review and something weird like that. I was like, that's a weird callback in the middle of this Apple TV Plus show.
Jason Sudeikis plays video games and he knows them very well, and he was familiar with IGN, which was great.
Does all that feel like I had Clements on for the first time in a podcast for the first time like 10 years, a couple of weeks ago on We Have Cool Friends, and talking to him and like recapping these stories that we haven't talked about in forever. Does all that feel like another lifetime to you?
It doesn't. It does in some ways in terms of like where my life is in general. But I think it weirdly, like, it's almost like for me, the modern portion of my life is Nintendo on. It's almost like Nintendo was when I started to figure out who I was and what I wanted to be with my career. And then I think that flowed into IGN. So I kind of feel like IGN's part of my modern era of my life.
Okay.
But it's like,
phase two.
I feel like once we hit 10 years ago, that's when, because right now it's 9 years ago that I work there. Once we hit 10, I'll probably be like, fuck it.
Forget all those memories and those people. You'll never text Brian again. It's over.
Never.
With everyone else here at the table, this table, do you guys, how would you categorize your lives in terms of careers and stuff? Like, do you see Greg and Nick, do you see IGN as separate from Kind of Funny, or as part of the same thing? Andy, Kind of Funny, Rooster Teeth, how's that work for you?
Man, I see IGN was the start of my professional career for sure. Prior to that, I was shooting wedding videos and serving food and just trying to get anything started in my life. And so the idea that I could come and be at a place that had resources, that had, that wanted to build the team, that wanted to like be competitive in a marketplace and like create and kind of pioneer in a lot of ways, like streaming online video for video games. That's for sure an opportunity that I jumped at. And like, I learned pretty much, I would say 80% of my technical skills through IGN and through the opportunities that I got there. So like, yeah, for sure. And also I grew up there. Like, I got the job when I was 25. I was dumb. I was like, I don't know what a 401k is. Someone had to explain that to me when I was like sitting down. I was like, they're like, we also have 401k. I was like, still is that a good thing? Yeah, exactly.
And, like, and you said that, and whoever, Fran's interviewing you, and goes, do you think it is?
I don't know. So yeah, I mean, when I got there, I just remember being like, wow, I've like, this is a different step in my life for sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure Greg, I don't know if Greg feels the same way.
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, I would say like, if I was going to break up my life, I like the, you know, Drucker's use of modern, right? And like golden age, silver age.
Yeah.
Like, I think Chicago is a chunk. Columbia is a chunk, which includes Mizzou, and then working there. Then it's IGN. Then it's Kind of Funny. Because it is, longer we've done Kind of Funny, the more it's become this push and pull of, it feels like just yesterday we were in the spare bedroom. And that also, when I talk to Clements about things, right, and he's bringing up jokes that I'd forgotten about, or vice versa, it was so long ago, let alone the fact of like, you think about it now and it's like mind-boggling that there is no IGN office on Second Street, and even if there was, how many people do I actually know in there outside of like, you know,
right,
Hair Damon, like, you know, in terms of like how it used to be, where I was, you know, coming home, it's like high school or whatever.
Yeah.
Andy, what about you?
I think moving to Austin was like the big definitive split, where I was 19, and that was, I was like, all right, I'm gonna make a change. I'm not gonna stay here in South Texas and probably just, you know, I don't know, but whatever happens to everybody else who lives back home. Like, I just didn't want to do that. I knew I wanted to like get into some sort of creative field. So I think moving to Austin was kind of like the big kind of like paragraph line break in my life. And I still feel like I'm in that phase, because I moved to Austin, then that just naturally led into art and game development. And then that led into being in game dev for 3 years. And that led into Kind of Funny, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird for me because, I mean, obviously I'm similar to Greg and Nick in the way that like IGN definitely is where I learned everything. And that was such an amazing place for me. And like, I wouldn't be here without that, obviously. But what's funny to it is now I look back on IGN the same way I look back on school, as opposed to looking at it as like a big chapter of my life. Or it is a chapter of my life, but it is a closed chapter. It's not part of this chapter that we're currently in. Like, because I went from high school, you know, you go elementary school, middle school, high school, college. IGN felt like, you know, middle school for me was 3 years, college or high school was four, college was four, IGN was five.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, cool, that's just that. And then now I imagine that this Kind of Funny thing is going to be, I'm in my last chapter when it comes to that type of stuff, you know? Right. Yeah. But it very much
leave
like
us,
IGN
fucking
feels,
leave us for Jimmy Fallon. I swear to God, Tim. Fucking murder.
IGN feels so, so, so far away. Like, it's.
Yeah.
It's, I struggle to, like, when I think about my friends at IGN, my times at IGN, it feels like I'm thinking about college or like even before then.
It's weird too, because like my relationship, I worked obviously so closely with Fran for 9 years that I was at IGN, and our relationship was so drastically different than it is now. Like now, let me put it this way. If you told me that 10 years ago that Fran was going to text me at 10 o'clock at night, I would have anxiety about that and probably stay up all night. But now I look forward to it because we're going to play games together and hang out and like shoot the shit. And it's totally different. But yeah, it does. That is a defined moment in my life. And it does feel like a long time ago. So yeah, I guess if you're going to break it up, I mean, I spent 9 years there. So that's almost a decade of my life right there. So those are the IGN years for sure. And then Kind of Funny. But is it weird, Tim, that we might be creating those memories for some of the newer guys that came in to Kind of Funny? Like, they're going to think
Roger
back and go,
or Blessing ever leave, I'll kill them too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Murder.
Wow.
So murder, Andy, murder time.
You got in before the murder policies, but I just want you to know.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'll just
it,
hurt yeah, you. I'll hurt it was, you real bad. As many bites as I can get in.
It wasn't on the contract that wasn't written out, actually.
You mean the one sentence email that one of us sent you before you drove across the country?
Yeah. I was gonna mention what I would like for the listeners and maybe viewers of this clip out to where I was answering the question, Tim's question. Very out of breath. I've been pedaling under the desk. I have a little Drucker. I have a little bike pedal system underneath my desk, and I was pedaling the whole time.
One of those.
And when the question came from Tim, I didn't expect to be like that out of breath.
Gassed, completely gassed from pedaling.
Dude, I was on a business call today with like some important people, but like if I'm gonna be honest, not that important. Damn. Like. Some of them were
double A.
Like,
they're double
was,
A important.
There was one guy that was like, he's clearly with the important people, but I don't know that this guy was important enough to be eating his lunch on the call while on a treadmill.
What? Oh, sick.
Clearly doing some other work and engaging every once in a while. And it's one of those things where it's like, look, we do podcasts, we drink, we eat, we go to the bathroom, we do whatever the fuck we want live in front of your eyes. You know what I mean? Sometimes all at once.
That's Mr. Nintendo you're talking shit about. Good luck getting your Zelda game in the future, okay?
I was just shocked where I was like, all right, this is like, I ain't trying to hate, but like it got in the way of the conversation. And like it got in the way of like what we were trying to accomplish. And I was just like, this is definitely a first for me.
You gotta turn your
camera off. That's fun.
That dude's very listening. He's unsubscribing on Patreon right now. He's just like, I can't believe this. Wait,
you just walked away from the MeUndies empire, Tim Geddes.
Good question, Kevin. What was he eating?
Like a burrito? Hoagie?
Salad.
No, it wasn't a salad. I don't know what it was, but I mean, it was something that he should be eating on camera. Like
on a treadmill.
The call was like 45 minutes. Like it was a long time, and like. Hey, credit to him. Never stop walking. Like, Kevin, he got his steps in.
Okay, because I'm picturing the dude jogging with a headband with a fucking like muscle t-shirt on, eating like fucking rice, and it's just like flopping all over the place. Like it's a mess, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't quite that.
I was imagining he was eating like, I don't know, ramen.
Clear
bowl. Just fucking, but like, no, but nailing it. You know, his body's moving, his hands and head holding perfectly still.
Whoa, he's got the Nick Scarpino skill of the marching band where
Andy, we call it the glide step. Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Drucker, for you, you know, we're talking, there's these defined things for us, and you're talking about yours is like the modern era starting with Nintendo. How does that go then to being a big time writer out there in New York, right? Because you've bounced around through a whole bunch of different stuff.
I have. I think because it's sort of like, you know, I have that. I think in my life, I try to use all the parts of the buffalo. So I consider everything helpful for the career moving forward. Like there's no like left behind stuff. And I think with Nintendo, that was the first time I was just a writer. I was just there for words. I wasn't like an assistant who got to pitch jokes. I wasn't a freelancer. I wasn't someone who like, you know, got hired for two nights at an award show. I was a full-time writer. So that feels almost for me like the moment that I was like, oh, I've become myself. So that's why it all flows into it. And also like each of the environments was creative. Like what I did at IGN with Up at Noon wasn't that different than what I did at Fallon. It was more intense and I had to do it faster and more often, but the skill set was the same. Mm-hmm. So for me, it all like flows together. Also, I think that like I haven't stayed anywhere as long as you guys have. So maybe for me, there's a little more fluidity to like where the demarcation points are. Because I was at IGN for 1 year. So if you were at it for 9 or 5 or however long, I feel like that's going to be like a bigger, like this was a chunk of my life. Not like this was a part of this part of my life.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. That makes sense.
Drucker, when I think of like writing in the industry, my mind automatically goes to that short like 45 minute hour thing that South Park did where it was 7 days to air or eight. I forgot what the
I still gotta watch that.
Where Bill Hader's there along with Matt and Trey and they're all in the room and a couple of other writers are there as well, but I just always think of Bill Hader because I didn't even know he wrote for South Park, but I think of them all in this room kind of cramming jokes. How stressful does that, you know, process get? Where like Were you having to turn around stuff in 24 hours? Well, obviously it's the Tonight Show, obviously, but yeah. like
I'll get that to you tomorrow, boss. No, the show is in 4 hours.
What was the cutoff point? You know what I mean? Like, if you know the show airs at, you know, you would record at what, noon or something like that? Or
Tonight Show record at 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah. So what was the cutoff for the jokes? Is like, if something huge happened at 2 p.m., was that like, we probably shouldn't include it? It's not fully fleshed out.
It depends. Now, if it's something that's like a giant, like if there's like a tragedy or a shooting or something, we'd usually, we wouldn't add, we'd just have him shoot something beforehand, be like, hey, the rest of the show was shot before this happened. We just wanted to let you know. We're sorry. Otherwise, it was the moment that he was out of that curtain telling the jokes was when we could not update that. Like, there was times, like, maybe 10 or 15 minutes before he'd go out on stage that something would happen, and we'd have to run out and give him the update. Sam B's a little different because it's once a week, so we have a lot more time to process things and make things and put things together. And, you know, Sam is a little less of a celebrity than Jimmy Fallon is, to put it a certain way. So, like, so it's easier to just be like, hey, we need a change. Can we go back? And she'll be like, yeah, sure, we can go back. Whereas Jimmy, once he's shot something and he's done.
When it comes to writing these type of shows, I've always been interested in late night shows, whether they're weekly or nightly, of like what is written, what is not, and what is kind of 50-50. Because obviously the monologue stuff, that's written. The sketches, those are written. When he has a celebrity, they're sitting doing the interview on the couch. So often it feels written, or at least feels written enough. Is it?
It depends on the celebrity, to be honest. Sub celebrities will go in, especially like comedians often will be paneling their material, which is sometimes like you can really tell when they're just doing stand up on the couch.
I hate that, by the way. I hate it.
It's the worst.
It just feels so fake.
I'm glad you all are with me. I hate
it. Oh, no. Yeah, everyone hates it. Because everyone hates it.
Because I'll tell you why. Because the Nathan for
Greg,
You episode.
Greg's like, how dare you?
Really
incredible.
The Nathan for You episode about him preparing and being worried about being on late night. Greg, if you haven't watched this, I know Nick won't because Nick doesn't watch anything I recommend.
Give the full pitch of this. Like spoil this episode because it is incredible.
Okay, so Nathan is obviously the show doesn't really have to do with the usual plot of the show, right? But this episode is Nathan is going on The Tonight Show and he realizes I have to be the best guest ever. I have to study all of these different celebrities. And I have to create a story. Every time there's a guest on one of these shows, they always have a hilarious story. And it always has to do with, on the way over here, I got pulled over by a cop. Or I was in the airport and this happened. And there's always a story like that. And he plays interviews from so many different celebrities telling these stories on late night shows. And so he pulls all these references or whatever. And it's kind of hard to explain big picture because essentially he has to create a story, but he doesn't want to feel bad about lying about this story. So he does all of the insane shit
that
he tells.
He goes out and does
the
stories. That's funny.
Yeah, it's a story about him getting pulled over and there's weed in his pot, in his suit, but it's not his suit because he got it from another guy. He does all this like extravagant bullshit and it's so fucking like way over the top. But the thing that Drucker's talking about, you know, this doesn't really have to do with the Nathan for You episode anymore, but I'm just thinking of the guests on the, you know, oh, so you had kind of a crazy thing happen to you. What happened to you? Yeah, so I'm in the airport and this happened. And it feels so fake and it feels so just, I hate it, Nick.
I hate it too. I hate it, especially because like, I mean, I've read so many different things about, you know, the era of stand-up comedy or the eras of stand-up comedy. And like getting on The Tonight Show originally was like just the hugest thing for a comic. And I've read like how hard they would prepare just for that, like, I think it was like a 5-minute set, and how it could like literally back in the 80s, like if you had a good set on Johnny Carson, like the next day you'd have a TV show and you could be super big, and then it would be like a year before you died of an overdose or whatever.
Yeah.
But
Jesus Christ.
Seriously, I mean, that's what it was, because all these guys were like, I don't know what to do with all this money. Cocaine. Yep. But yeah, so when you see these celebrities come on,
wait,
and they tell
quick,
these, they tell
does
these...
everybody just spend it on miniatures now.
Miniatures and... I mean, honestly, yeah. If I was a TV writer in the 80s, I'd be dead. But now I have like, you know,
Yeah,
you got like the big... I have a big Pac-Man machine. So
there he goes. There
so is Kevin. Kevin loves those.
But yeah, I just think that's so. It's so funny because that's the difference between sort of that medium and what we're doing right now, which is it's not a shock to anyone that podcasting has kind of picked up, especially in this era when people just want to hear each other talk and figure out some ideas and challenge each other and like goof around, you know. And you can see people being real versus like. Joe Schmo celebrity, or I'll just say Ryan Gosling because he's always on the tip of my tongue and always in my, always here, always right here, you know, saying some cute story that you know he rehearsed backstage or is not even really that just feels so fake, but he's so beautiful, so who gives a shit?
Greg,
well, that was the funniest thing about the Nathan For You thing. Yeah, the thing that I thought you were going to get at, Eddie, is like him doing the research to craft this perfect story kind of exposed a huge scandal where so many celebrities have told the exact same story.
You're kidding me.
Like,
that's amazing.
Exact same story. Because he was trying to find all of the highlights to create the ultimate story, but he realized the ultimate story was already told many times.
Getting stopped by a cop somewhere. And the great thing about it is whoever the guest was before him, I don't know if it was Kirsten Dunst or if it was Emma Stone. Maybe. There was some guest right before him, Greg.
Did you say Jaleel White?
I'm helping Andy out. I'm throwing life raft.
So the thing is, Nathan, he's like, I got to nail this anecdote. I have to be the perfect guest and I have to have the best punchline. I want everybody to laugh. I'm so nervous about this. And the guest that went up right before him tells a story about getting stopped by a cop. And he's like, and this is where my world came crashing down. And it shows him in the green room watching the clip of, you know, the person live telling, you know, this story about how they got stopped by the cops. And he's like, there's no way I could repeat the story twice. They're not going to laugh. And it's just, it's fucking perfect TV. It's perfect TV, man. Tim, tell Greg to watch it, dude.
Watch it, Greg. Come on.
I mean, is there so much
Jen
stuff
will love
do?
It. So Jen will fucking do. Die.
Do you know what you guys should watch is Cop Rock. That should be
Cop
a kind
Rock.
Of funny. Cop Rock.
I know
Cop Rock. Do you know
Cop
what
Rock.
Cop Rock is?
No. I know Cop Rock only because of the docu-series that was talking about the 80s, or it was
it was
Wait, this
one
is a
of
real
the biggest
show?
It's a real show. It's one of television's biggest failures. It was at the time, it was like the joke of a failing television show. And what it is a police drama. It's a police drama musical.
Shut up, this is
yeah
great.
But Wikipedia says drama is an American police procedural musical television series.
What? And it is weird as hell.
Can we? Will we get claimed if we watch some of it?
Yeah, probably.
Lame.
I mean, it's worth it.
No. We won't. We're gonna be fine.
All right, here, okay, Kevin. Kevin, I'm sending his assets. We got it. Because right now, I'm looking at Cop Rock. Let's be careful out there.
There is the docuseries. I don't know if it was A&E or not. I don't know what channel put these series out. Where it's like the 80s. It's not like I Love the 80s. It's not one of those shows. It's
I know you're talking about.
It's more of a you know, a serious take on here are the 80s, here were the 90s, and they're talking about history and entertainment going through all of it. But the creator of Cop Rock also made, I believe, Law & Order, or made one of these important, NYPD Blue, maybe. And so
I think
it was
made,
CNN.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, so when he came out with this, they were like, whoa,
oh, Steve,
we did not expect a miss like this.
Like, wow. Okay, yeah, so Steve Bochco, that's a name I know.
One episode literally has a song about a man promising to kidnap a baby for somebody, but it's him like describing himself almost like in a Disney film. It'd be like, I'm the villain, but it's a man saying he's going to kidnap children.
So Steve Bochco, Hill Street Blues, and LA.
I love it already. Yeah, let's watch it, Kevin. Show me some of this.
Roll call, 7:52 a.m.
Greg hates audio listeners.
I love the audio listeners. It's a musical thing. That you're the one over there. You're like, oh man, look at this thing. Isn't this the coolest thing? I won't tell you what the thing is.
Item 7.
Yeah, Greg. If you really loved our audio listeners, you would just describe an episode of Nathan For You for 45 minutes. You got a conflict? Look at that guy's hair.
Yeah, I do. It's resolved. You're going. Item 8. Officer Quinn returns to active duty.
Cops used to have more fun.
Yeah.
They never used to take it so serious. You know what I mean, Greg?
Yeah.
That guy's been in everything.
Wow, he's in every. He's looked. The key to not aging is always looking 50.
Just be bald from the start. That guy was in Cliffhanger, for Christ's sake.
Male cock, 6'3".
Should I fast forward? Or?
Yeah, let's see some singing. Is there some singing happening?
I want to see how they transition into it. We got to be close. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, here it is.
Let's be careful out there.
How?
Let's be careful out there.
How could you think this was a good idea, Stephen Bochco?
We had a 187 at the same
Oh, damn.
That's 187 is a murder, by the way.
About a 7-Eleven.
Yeah. That's a murder.
That's probably enough of that, right?
You know?
Yeah. I was enjoying
it.
Whatever.
We got it.
I was waiting for the key change, Kevin.
Wait for the beat to drop. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Are those easy? How long did that run for before
that? Like four episodes.
We gotta stop this shit.
I think you can get like a DVD set with all 8 episodes, but I only think they aired like 4.
Oh, no.
They got Clerks, the animated series.
Yeah.
Who? Guess who did the music?
Tawny Kitaen.
Randy Newman.
Damn.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That sounds like it.
Yes.
That sounds like it.
There's Randy Newman just thinking about what he sees.
God, Randy me. These guys are wearing uniforms.
That's where you hear like little snippets of, oh, that's what inspired him in Toy Story.
You can see the inspirations and where they'll go from. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this is the Kinda Funny podcast each and every week, twice a week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. You like that? You go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can watch us record the show live, just like DJ Kento is, Demetrius Newell is, Mike L is, and the other patrons are. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do, and you can just support us. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Twice a week, 2 episodes just for you. Housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Kieran O'Donnell, Steve Powers, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Alexander Noxel, Bill I Am. This episode is brought to you by the Kinda Funny Next Gen Podcast. In fact, let me tell you about it right now. Tim, hold your hand up the entire time I read this ad. This episode of the Kinda Funny Podcast is brought to you by the Kinda Funny Next Gen Podcast. If you didn't know, over on patreon.com/kindoffunny and patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. At the gold tier, you can subscribe for the new monthly show, the Kinda Funny Next Gen Podcast, the KF Next Gen Podcast. It is Barrett, it is Blessing, it is Roger. It is them doing their own podcast where they hang out and do something very similar to the Kinda Funny Podcast. But of course, they're the next gen. They're the next generation of Kinda Funny. It's interesting to hear them talk about, obviously, what it's like to work here in a way that I never would, because I was one of the founders and I'm trapped here forever. Right, Kevin?
Yep, forever.
So yeah, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can subscribe at the gold level and you can get the KF Next Gen Podcast. Of course, if you subscribe at the gold tier, guess what? On whatever one you pick, you get the other Patreon as well. So you'd have all the exclusive content, all the early access, all the post shows, everything you could possibly want from Kinda Funny on one Patreon subscription, plus the brand new show, the KF Next Gen Podcast. For now, let's get back to the old gen podcast. All right, Sam, we're back. What do you have to say?
I'm just looking at the Wikipedia for Cop Rock, there are in fact 11 episodes. There are 11 episodes. I do want to read you all of their titles. Oh, they're not all winners. They're not all winners, but I will say somehow they definitely are all losers. Number 1, Pilot. Number 2, Ill-Gotten Gains.
Yeah.
Number 3,
Chris Gaines guest stars.
Happy Mudder's Day. Not Mothers, Mudders.
Mudder. Hello, Mudder. Hello, Fada.
Number four, and this is where they start getting to the point where I'm like bringing these up for a reason. A three corpse meal.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Number 5, the cocaine mutiny.
This is
number
TV.
6, oil of Olay. Number 7, copophiliac.
I'm sorry.
Celiac.
That's you can't do that. That one doesn't work.
That's where you cross the line.
Pots don't fail me now. Number 9, marital blitz. I'm jumping to number 11, which is bang the pot slowly, because the worst one is number 10. No noose is good. It's
good
news.
Oh wow.
Your choices made this show.
And America wasn't ready.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah. I wonder if we are now in a post-Glee world. You know, I'm just gonna really get out there and see it.
Post-Glee. Huh.
Have you guys watched Glee? Have you sat through an episode of Glee?
Like recently or in
I've
the
only past? Seen
just
clip.
Ever. Just ever.
I have. Yeah, yeah.
Nick, I'll be honest with you. Before you mention like get into this, I'm just worried to I don't want to shit on a show and have like them be one of Mike's friends. That's what I'm worried about. So like, as soon as you started going to the shitting on,
oh no, you're okay, you're okay.
I was
Mike doesn't
like,
have friends.
Yeah, no, I just have people.
Let me put it to you this way. Mike's friends are largely all comedians, and we are all sad, broken people inside anyway.
Right.
So
if I was friends with Ryan Murphy, I would not be on this podcast. I would have a house to do. I would have two houses. I would love it.
Yeah, he's got much better shit to do.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's how you know I don't know how to do anything with money. He's like, I'll get a house.
I get a house. Maybe I get another house.
Another house.
You have three houses.
How many can I get?
We'll see.
Maybe buy some GameSpot stock. I don't know.
So Glee was one of those shows where like I like to shit on the Big Bang Theory, right? But I can watch the Big Bang Theory and go, I get why people like the show. It's funny. It's charming. It's very like, hey, I get it, right? Glee is one of those shows I watch and I'm like, this is really not likable for some reason. And I think like when you watch them and they were all lip singing, I was like, why aren't they actually singing this? It's a show about people who sing and all these people can sing, but they're not actually singing in the thing. And then like the arrangements, I guess I just always wanted it to be pitch perfect with the movie, the show, but it never was. They never caught that vibe like pitch perfect they was able to catch. So I was just like, I don't get the Glee. This is one of those I'm like, I'm sorry, Hollywood. I have to protest this one. I don't understand why this one's popular.
All right, counterpoint, Mike Drucker, who loves Glee.
Go ahead.
You know, the first season was pretty good. It had some creative ideas. Maybe it had a hard landing, but that first season was charming and it, you know, it brought back mashups and covers, which we all like.
Did you
read somebody's review?
I don't know. I mean, if you do look at IGN, I used to review DVDs for IGN when I was in college. I reviewed High School Musical 1. Awesome. That's where that's coming from. Yeah. Mm,
there we go. I think that the mashups are pretty good. Musically, Glee's pretty sick. I haven't watched the show as a whole, but like I've seen a lot of the mashups and just kind of like music they make and
Nick doesn't want to hear it. He just hits Tim with a no.
No, and again, I mean, I'm sure they're fine, right? We're talking shit about Glee, it's fine. But I just remember watching Pitch Perfect and going, hey, this is so creative. And then I went to, well, I mean, Greg hasn't chimed in yet, so I assume he's on my side.
Tim, Nick, I'm with you. I'm with you, Nick.
Thank you, Andy.
But when I just remember watching. Was going, I was like, enough of this fucking.
I don't get it. Enough of it. It's too, you know what maybe it is, Tim? It's like there's kids in high school that are more popular than me, and I'm like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah, there is something very telling about you starting this conversation, talking shit about Glee, and then just bringing up Big Bang Theory, like as if they're similar in any real way.
They were super popular for their time. Obviously, Big Bang Theory, I think, was more popular and ended up going longer. But Glee was like a moment in TV, like in TV history. And I just remember trying to get in it because I was such a fan of like a cappella singing and. And I love the Pitch Perfect movies. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be like more like Pitch Perfect. And I just remember watching it being like, this is kind of really pretentious to me. And I don't like the musical. I don't like the music in it at all. I think the arrangements are kind of like not as creative as I want them to be. Again, I'm coming from the Pitch Perfect movie universe. Right. So maybe that's where I'm coming from. But again, I'm not going to shit on people love. If you like Glee, like Glee. If you like Big Bang Theory, get it. I can watch both of them and see why people would like them. I just didn't vibe with Glee for sure.
When I think of Glee, I think of Everybody Loves
Glee. First episode aired May 19th, 2009. Pitch Perfect, 2012.
Huh.
Man, I was like, I think Pitch Perfect was later, but I'm often wrong. Yeah,
I guess Nick, I'm wrong about
matter.
That then.
Nick, doesn't
I mean,
matter.
Yeah, Pitch Perfect matter. Was very much trying to ride the wave of Glee and like was almost a Glee parody.
A lot of holes in your story, Nick.
No, I don't, yeah.
You love Glee. You love. Well,
it's also
Glee.
Possible like, I didn't watch Glee. Public. It's also possible I didn't watch an episode of Glee for 4 years.
I'm also waiting for Nick to go. I'm honestly waiting for Nick to go. Wait, which one's Glee?
Glee's the one about the cops that sing, right? That's the thing. No.
Mike, take me back to May 31st, 2006, High School Musical. This teen sensation sweeps the DVD nation. This nude set.
You did it. You did it.
Shut up.
How much did you hate reviewing DVDs?
Hated it, but they sent you free DVDs, and you kind of had to take the shit you didn't want to get the good ones. Like, I would get Criterions, but I had to take High School Musical.
Sure.
I was never paid, though. I don't know if that's legal, but
no, that's not legal at all.
But I was like, you know, it's that thing that we all fell for when we were like sophomores in college, and we were like, exposure. I need exposure.
Yep. Yeah, we'll pay you an exposure. You have a good lead, though. You have a pretty good lead here. Wow, High School Musical came out of nowhere.
If you haven't heard of it, your younger relatives probably have. A Disney Channel original movie, the lighthearted musical became an overnight sensation. The soundtrack is already a bestseller, and there are already special edition double dip soundtracks featuring new recordings of the song. But then I got, and this isn't mocking you, because you can go read my old IGN reviews, obviously. But like the things you had to put in here, the audio presentation. Much better is the audio presentation featuring a good Dolby Digital 5.1 surround track. While most of the movie, besides the musical numbers, is front-loaded dialogue, Disney did a good job of adding in atmospheric noise. Lockers close and open behind you while characters are in front of you. When one character walks down the hall, the sound of shoes moves from the back to the front. You really get a pretty good sense.
There was no word minimum. I was just writing.
Mike, you're just making observations.
Yeah. Mike, you literally opened up the DVD menu and just copied verbatim what those things described
as. That's what they wanted.
Yeah, I love packaging that. And extras. High School Musical comes on a single disc in a Latch Amray case. Included in this chapter listing, included is a chapter listing and an ad for performing the High School Musical at your school.
Awesome. This sounds like, you know what? Actually, this starts to make more and more sense because you're not necessarily just talking about this show. Because I see a lot of reviews like this whenever a movie that I'm really looking forward to is getting a 4K release. Mm-hmm. And you read the reviews there from people that get it early, the press that get it early, and they're like, you know, the colors are fantastic. The sound effects are better. You know, the Dolby Digital is adding this. And again, kids' locker sounds are behind you now. Like you can hear the lockers behind you and the footsteps. It's all accurate. So it sounds more like a technical review and less of a, yeah, the show's good, kind of.
Yeah, right. You already know at that point if you want to buy the DVD, it's good. I got to know about the extras, the Easter eggs.
Yeah, that's how all those reviews are, though. I mean, even, remember, Greg, like you reading your PS2 game reviews?
Oh, dude, my reviews.
The same fucking shit. Yeah. Like, reviews are just different than where it was kind of an overview as well as actually describing your experience with it. But it's like, we don't need to know that the PS2 box has a little hole for your memory card that you don't have to use, but you could if you want. But there it is.
Now, though, it's the inverse where there's like a like 100 million people watch a video of them revealing that little place you put that thing.
That's true, too. Yeah, it's just different content. Now it's not in the reviews. Now it's just unboxing videos.
Yeah.
Man,
I'll take you to April 17th, 2007. Greg Miller's Valhalla Knights review. Grab your sword and staff. It's RPG time is what I came up with for my strap line. And here's
what's an RPG, you ask?
Here's my shitty intro. Valhalla Knights is a lot like your ex-girlfriend. There will be moments when you have a great time together.
Oh my god.
But you won't be able to shake the feeling that you could do better.
Oh
that's
my
what I
god.
Had. That's
what are
I
you
had.
Going through? What happened to you?
Oh my god.
But too bad that fucking bitch never called me back.
Greg, can you imagine?
It's so personal.
Could you imagine if like someone was submitting a review for us right now and you're the EIC and you read that first line in 2021? You'd be like, hey, listen, I need you to rethink basically the whole first paragraph.
You email that kid back, you're like, buddy, you gotta find a different line of work.
Yeah, this is not gonna work for you.
Kevin, please bring up what I just sent assets because I want everyone to see the game that Greg made that comment about.
Hey man, I tried to keep you interested. All right. I felt like there was somebody chained to a chair that had to read everything on IGN. They didn't care if this game stood up for them or not.
Like, oh no.
Was Valhalla Knights.
No, Valhalla Knights is one that I always go back to that I hated reviewing. Like when people are like, oh man, like you know, it's a fun job to play video games. I remember distinctly like this Saturday on my bed with this PSP being like, I fucking hate this game and I have to play it. I have to play it. I have to keep playing this.
Wikipedia, the reception area says the game received mixed or average reviews according to the review aggregation website Metacritic.
Except for Greg Miller, who had a bad ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Beat me to it.
I'm sorry about your early reading. I didn't know that.
But does a GameSpot gave the game 5.9 and IGN a 6.5, citing the lack of in-game story and lack of clarity in the side quest.
That's what I said, yeah, for sure. But like to your point, too, of just the shit you have to shove in here, right? Yep. Through Ad Hoc Wireless, the title hosts a two-player co-op mode where players bring three team members from their single-player game to 30 exclusive co-op missions and a two-player versus mode where I'm like just padding this out. If like, I don't like this game. Here's what's in it if you want to like this game. You
right.
Yeah, idiots.
Now, who wants to see my fried chicken ice cream?
I was gonna say total non sequitur, but yeah, you do your non sequitur.
Yeah, you I can go get it. You get your thing ready.
Yeah, non sequitur for you, Greg. Non sequitur for me, Nick. I am all jacked up right now, and I'll tell you why, big dog. I'll tell you
what's going on, buddy. What's going on, buddy?
I got the brand new Coca-Cola coffee.
Shut up.
Is it good?
It's weird. It's kind of weird.
That's a no.
The reviews are in.
I don't hate it. I've been drinking the whole can, right? It's not like one of those, ugh, I'm gross, I'm done with this or whatever. I'm pretty much done with the whole can. I am insanely just jacked up with energy right now. I haven't felt like this in a long time. And I got to assume because the energy drinks just have no effect on me anymore. And that's, I got to just come to grips with that. And that's just part of my life now. But this is actually not bad. I think what they tout is it's great Coca-Cola taste. Or no, what did the advertisement say? Maybe it was at CVS. It's like kind of like alluding to the fact that you get that initial Coca-Cola taste, but the aftertaste is kind of coffee-ish.
This is going to make me sound so fucking old right now. So Roger, get out your fucking pen and paper and start taking notes. But I'm pretty sure, Greg, you might remember this. Did you ever watch Laverne and Shirley?
Of course.
And didn't Penny Marshall's character on there used to drink like Pepsi and coffee, like a mixture of Pepsi and coffee? Because I remember distinctly seeing that and then trying it and being like, this is fucking disgusting.
This isn't bad. So it comes in three flavors. They have vanilla, caramel, and dark roast. I got the vanilla and the dark roast. I can hop into the dark roast right now, but I could fucking power this computer right now if I attached it to my body somehow. I'll let you know how it goes though, Nick.
All right, cool. Yeah,
so
I can't wait to be able to.
I missed your coffee, Coke coffee.
Oh yeah, yeah, Greg. Brand new Coca-Cola coffee.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I can't wait to be able to drink brown liquids again because I haven't had coffee in 2 days, and I'm a different
Laverne
person.
And Shirley's milk and Pepsi. Is that what it was?
That's what it was. Milk and Pepsi. Thank you. God. That was disgusting. Fuck. That's disgusting.
Oh, I mean, that kind of sounds like a root beer float sort of thing.
Yeah, except for it's not ice cream. It's milk. You see the difference there?
That's what it was, Kevin. Thank you for looking that up. I tried it one time, and I was like, no, I don't like this at all.
Tomato, tomato, Kevin.
Greg, what's going on with this fried chicken ice cream you got going on here?
Hold on. As you went into your intro, the freezer started beeping. It's not closed. I got to close the freezer.
Jeez.
Look at this technological
man, look at Greg's
son
hair.
Of a bitch.
You guys have normal lives like everyone else. Just normal lives. You know,
we're normal people, Joker.
We are just normal human people.
Greg has a nice kitchen, and Tim has a movie theater.
The seats light up, Joker. They're real cool.
They do.
They have little things that tickle your butthole too when the speaker drops.
Wait. Nick has an empty room. Is that like are we going with Nick?
Is it a dance studio?
That is something that's an observation people have said before. So, right. Drug, what happened is I moved mid-pandemic, and now getting furniture delivered is a pain in the ass. And so I think in the next 2 weeks I'll be able to get a couch in here, but we tried to get one and it was all broken and fucked up. And so now I'm just stuck with a dance room. Tim Getty's from Kind of Funny.
Drucker, one of my favorite things from the Up at Noon days were when you would write a bunch of different jokes and we didn't find the funniest one for during the table reads because so many of them were funny. So then Greg would do all of them. He'd be like, no, let me do another take, and you'd keep going. I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but if you could just start thinking in your mind for some time in this podcast, if you can come up with alternate places that Nick's room reminds you of that aren't just a dance
studio. Thank you.
That could be a lot of fun.
Now, to be fair, if you blink
your
eyes real quick.
The back of a closed down JCPenney.
Yep. An improv team rents to practice.
Wow. That sounds right.
He's in a moving truck that is going through the city right now.
To be fair, Drucker, it looks like your room minus the furniture and with a cheesy neon light.
Yeah. The furniture and lack of neon does a lot for the room, though.
It really does. It's true. It's true.
You should look into it.
It really brings together like a really homey, kind of warm feeling to the room.
Right, yeah.
Whereas my place looks like I sold all of it for crack. That's kind of what I'm dealing with right now. Yeah.
All right, so you ready to hear about my fried chicken ice cream now?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So look at this now, all right?
Where did you get this from?
Gold Belly. Greg Rice and Jeremy Hoffman were showing this the other day. Have you seen it yet? So you know what I'm doing here? Because it looks like a bucket of fried chicken, doesn't it? Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can see it. You're shoving it into
and
the
then
camera.
You open up, right? And it looks like it's just chicken, right?
Is it ice cream?
It looks like Tim's pillow.
It's actually ice cream, though. Yeah. So what it is, the deal, right, is it's a waffle crust? Ice cream chocolate cookie bone, caramelized white chocolate, and cornflakes.
Oh my god, that sounds unbelievably good.
That sounds amazing.
Get that crunch on the microphone, Greg. Let's hear that. It's hard. Having trouble focusing.
It's not focusing. It's just a blurry.
Yeah, too much of a face still in the shot. Look at this
blurry fucking chicken.
Nah, give it to Andy. It's not. Give it to Andy. There it goes. There it is.
Got it.
And it's got the ice cream in there.
Did you get the bone yet? Did you get the chocolate bone yet?
You can kind of see it. It's okay. I'll give you a better bite into the thing too.
Oh, that's
you hear that crunch. You hear that crunch.
That's a man. Fucking sell that to Pixar for a little Foley sound effect right there. That's
worth at least $10.
Oh, nice. That's where the crunch is coming from. I was worried because that amount of crunch from ice cream, I was like, ooh, you're about to get that like immediate teeth to brain freeze situation going on.
Yeah, the crunch isn't coming from the stick. It actually is coming from the outside because it's the cornflake crust to it or whatever.
Are the cornflakes flavored at all, or it's more there for texture?
It's texture, but they taste like cornflakes.
God. This seems like a science go far here type thing where like, did we need this? And then I know need's a weird word, but like, who the fuck decided to do this?
People who understood everybody's trapped at home. They'll spend their money on anything.
Yeah, they're smart people. Okay. Also, I have to imagine fans of the Snickers and or Twix ice cream bars, which are fucking god tier in my opinion.
Yeah, they are.
The first time I had the Snickers,
so good.
The Snickers ice cream bar, the first time my mom brought those home, I was like, are you fucking trying to kill me, Elena? Are you trying to kill me? Because I ate like three of those in a row and nobody stopped me, Mike. They just didn't stop me.
That looks so... Look at that, though. Look at that bucket of ice cream chicken. That looks so good.
It's such a neat little novelty. Because I'll tell you, one of my favorite things is just getting a little bucket of when I believe it was KFC, first introduced popcorn chicken. And then they look so good in the commercial. And then you realize it's a bunch of tiny pieces of just... fucking batter,
like it's just fried batter.
There's no chicken in it. It's just you're lucky if you get a little couple of tendy pieces there, but it's usually just fried batter. That looks delicious. Come on,
the batter. Yeah, were you complaining though?
No, God no. The batter's the best part always.
No.
Every single time we go when I'm trying to be on some sort of stupid low carb diet and we go to a Buffalo Wild Wings and I get like the dry rub wings, like barely fried or whatever, and somebody else gets the boneless. Just like it's 90% the breading and like 1% chicken. That's what I love. I always want those every single time I'm seeing someone eat those bad boys.
I want fried chicken now.
Now I want fried chicken.
There's something I want to bring up, Trucker.
Oh no.
Because you're wasting away. Every time I see you, you're in better shape. What are you doing exactly? What are you up to?
Since the pandemic almost kind of started right after my birthday, and
do you think you brought it on? Do you think
happy birthday?
I think I brought it on. I think
did
I brought
you
it
blow
on.
Off a candle and you're like, this is what I want.
Oh no.
But like, I think like I had that like in my head, that like thing when you have your birthday where you're like, what should I be doing with my life? And then the pandemic hit and I was like, oh, I'm going to have a lot of free time. So I've been exercising every day since the pandemic began.
Wow.
Like every day, Christmas, New Year's. And what are you doing? That's really helped. I live right on Central Park. So I'll sometimes do like a little jog around Central Park. Gotcha. I also do, I have an Oculus Quest 2 that I do like boxing exercises in. Wii Fit. I'm not Wii Fit. Jesus Christ. Ring
that's
Fit.
Ring Fit.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
God, I that'd would be love amazing if you still have the Wii Fit scale in the back.
Oh my God.
Trucker would though, dude. I would I would believe.
I knew that like Joker, this is going to sound like some sort of insult, but coming from me, you know, it just comes from a place of love.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, starting to name off the different techniques you're using for losing weight and becoming a healthier person, I'm like, there's no way this motherfucker doesn't do Ring Fit. There's not a goddamn chance Ring Fit isn't a part of your life. Because I bought it, Drucker. I bought it, let's say, around April or May when they were all sold out. You couldn't fucking buy them anywhere. And of course, I bought one secondhandedly on eBay for about, you know, 80% above cost. it was a lot of money because I think they're like $80 normally. And I spent about $140 and I felt really, really ashamed. But I was like, you know what? I'm bettering myself. This is worth the investment. And I used it for maybe about 3 weeks and then I kind of just gave up. And you know why? But I blame the Joy-Cons. Joy-Cons ran out of batteries. And Tim, they're kind of tough to charge. Let's be honest.
Joy-Cons?
Put them on the Switch right now. That your Switch can be plugged in with your Joy-Cons on.
It's actually right next to me plugged in. But the Joy-Cons, they die really, really fast. They die really, really fast. And you know me, I like to go long hours, Greg. But my favorite one, what's your favorite workout routine?
They call you Andy Long.
Yeah, Andy Long Long.
That's what you got. That's what you got on a Thursday, Greg.
Jucker, what's your favorite technique to do with the ring fit?
I have to
describe it very detailed for the audio listeners.
They added like a sort of a rhythm game to it in an update for free that has like 8 songs, so it's not that good of a rhythm game. But like the actual exercises are pretty intense, but it's like doing it to like the Mario theme or the Breath of the Wild theme is kind of nice. Yeah.
My favorite thing to do, because there's a lot of shit. I don't know, Tim, have you fucked around with the ring fit at all?
No, I haven't.
All right, so there's look like the me and Mike, me and Snowbike, me and Snowbike Mike are on the same level when it comes to ring fit adventure. In that, don't let me lose, right? Like I love that it's gamified, but Tim, you can lose a battle and have to restart the whole thing. It's like, well, workout done. I'm fucking tired. Like, and yeah, I'm mad that I fucking lost this stupid. Don't let me lose. I shouldn't have hearts to lose. Just let me beat the boss and feel good and keep going or whatever. Because it gets frustrating in some moments.
But I see it working both ways, though. I feel like there should be a mode, like a no fail mode.
I mean, there's definitely stuff like that.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, no. There's definitely mini games mode, or there's, you know, you could do only these certain type of you can kind of curate your own I guess exercises or whatever. But my favorite one to do is when you put you sit on the ground, kind of like a butt on the ground, Tim, with your legs out. So I'll do it right here. Actually, let me get the ring fit. You all talk.
While he does that, I'm gonna tell you, of course, hey, shout out to the kind of funny best friend who works at San Pellegrino, who last week on last episode we had to rank our 5 drinks we would have. So Jucker, here's the thing.
Yeah,
someone comes in, okay, they're sending you to Mars.
All right,
they say, we're gonna send you up there, you can have 5 drinks the rest of your existence, they'll be tied to your DNA, these are these only things you can drink. What are the 5 drinks you put on your list?
Regular water, just regular water by itself.
Smart.
Ginger ale.
Nice.
I think Sprite, but McDonald's Sprite.
Oh yeah. Fountain beverage.
Let's see.
Actually, that's not bad right there, Mike, just to get the fountain beverage from McDonald's, because it probably has everything that you want.
This isn't unlimited wishes, right, Andy? This is there's rules to this.
Yeah, no, you can't be doing, like, you know, there's all these. Essentially, Jucker, the story behind it, I know Greg kind of went into it while I was prepping the ring fit, but essentially, Kevin's a part of this. In the year 2084, Kevin and his coalition of scientists are able to create drinks and have them be unending and infinite, but 3 asteroids are about to hit Earth, so they couldn't do it for every drink. So it's like, hey, you, sir, you only have 5 drinks you could pick, and that's the whole thing. And so Greg tried to cheat. Greg tried to cheat at one point. It was like, oh, well, I would get bourbon and this, and then I can make an old-fashioned. It's like, no, you can't have that other thing.
Fucking get him, dude. Get him.
I already have water, so I can make simple syrup. It was on my list.
Watch me do my fucking ring fit, Tim. It's like, it's this one.
Tim, look at Andy's thighs. There you go. This is the Thigh Master. That's his favorite exercise, so everybody.
It's the face you're making that's landing it while you're doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I also love that I don't see the Joy-Con, and I don't really have a sense of understanding of this ring fit adventure thing. So, okay.
Like attention.
It just knows it's going. Okay. You got to love Nintendo.
You have regular water, you have ginger ale, you have fountain Sprite from McDonald's.
Coffee.
Sure.
Either, and the last one would either be orange juice or vodka. I'm not a huge, huge drinker, but sure. I would want alcohol to still exist. So maybe vodka. I'll put down vodka.
Yeah, it's good to have
Mike
safety.
Drucker and me are kind of on the same wavelength, because I was like, you know what? I'll go with like an orange pineapple juice, probably a mixture, you know, orange pineapple. And then I would get tequila to kind of like mix a tequila with the energy drink I chose, with the soda I chose. I need carbonation in my life. I can't not have carbonated drinks.
So, Mike, you do all this exercise. Are you still eating whatever you want? Are you, like, doing no carb? What are you doing, really?
And also, because I'm forced to cook for my... I was doing no carb before the pandemic, and it actually wasn't working super well because I just ate a lot of shit. And
she's bacon.
But during the pandemic, since I had to start cooking for myself, I didn't even start cooking healthy. It's just I'm not ordering $80 worth of Chinese food. You know, sure. I'm not like ordering sushi that I'm going to eat into the night. And so just by virtue of the fact that I had to cook for myself and care for myself a bit more, this is the longest I've been under 200 pounds since like my freshman year of college.
Wow. Dude, that's congratulations. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say only $80 though of Chinese food. Like,
man, man, that buys a lot of good Chinese food.
Because you buy a fucking 10-piece of nuggets up here, a 10-piece like medium meal McDonald's, you're paying $34 for a 10-piecer. It's fucking
that
ridiculous.
That is not accurate. Yeah. Don't believe what he's saying, everybody. Don't.
I remember.
No, but Uber Eats is what I mean.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Oh yeah. It's $50 right there. Yeah. Every single I can't order anything on Postmates and not have it be above $20. It doesn't matter what I order. It's always at least $25. And I don't know why. And I'm just so lazy because I'm ordering from Tim places that are probably within walking distance of me. But sometimes you just get off that 15th podcast of the day and you go, I got Warzone waiting for me later. I gotta get this, I gotta get these sweet potato fries delivered ASAP.
Dude, I get it, but at the same, like, so especially with all this GameStop situation going on, it's like if this isn't proof of the rich get richer, like, I don't know what is. But another example that benefits me, where it's like it's not the rich, it's just kind of like people that like semi pay attention to things. Like, if you have the right credit cards, that you just don't get charged for food delivery things, and it's like there's all these like weird little things where it's like, okay, if you've hit this level of your life, you save a fuck ton of money across the board on everything. And it's like weird how it all just kind of like starts to add up. And it's just like Uber Eats, it's like totally covered. DoorDash, totally covered. And I'm just like,
because of the credit card you have?
Yeah.
Just because the credit card I have? Man.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You get free DoorDash, dude. Link to DoorDash. You get free deliveries straight up.
Is it paid back to me, or do I have to like link something?
If you're using the card to buy the thing, then it's just done. It just does it for you.
Is it this credit card?
Andy, that's a
it's a Whataburger. That's a Whataburger gift card. Whataburger gift card.
Yeah. Real quick, one
thing to note: there are different charges for going in yourself and getting it delivered, or even picking up using an app. Because like recently, we've been ordering this sushi place that's really good, but I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go pick it up, and it was $20 cheaper to pick it up. And then I was like, well, let me see how much it is to order versus how much it is to like call in myself and order, and it was $10 difference.
Yeah.
Then when Kevin showed up, they're like, "If you want to make it, you can just
we'll pay you.
You get it for free."
Hey man, it was a 20% difference. So it was $50 versus $60 versus $70. I'm just saying.
No, honestly. Absolutely. But the other thing is though, like with the cards, you get like you get percentages off that way, and then it becomes the same price or close enough. It's not a $50 nug order like Andy's talking about,
right?
And it's just like, of course, there's a convenience fee of the fact that you're getting.
That's super smart, and that's always something I've admired about you, Tim. Is you love gaming that stuff. Oh, yeah. Me and Greg, I think, are always a little bit more on the. I'm not going to say lazy side, but I won't lump you into this, Greg. I'm just like, I got the card. It's linked. I'm tired. I just want the sweet potato fries immediately.
There's the spectrum, right? And I'm somewhere in the middle on any given Sunday and where I'll end up. I'm not. But also, you and I both metafig because Tim just tells us what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we go. That's why I have Tim for. That's why every single time I want to buy anything, I go, Tim, what should I buy? And Tim goes, well, and I was like, don't falter on me, dude. This is because I already have enough insecurity about this TV purchase as it is. What do I got to buy? And then Tim goes, give me a day. Comes back. Get the CX. Get it.
Jucker, for example, here's a great example to tell you how easily Nick is influenced. All right.
Yeah.
Nick is restoring a bunch of old VHS tapes. And he mentions how he talks to Fran Mirabella about how he's restoring these old VHS tapes. And Fran says, oh, you're using S video? It's the best quality. And Nick brushes it off as a typical Fran thing to say, right?
Of course, because Fran, of course, has to overcomplicate everything. Yeah. Drucker, I have an old VHS that I think Capcom shipped us for a Resident Evil, thing. Yeah, so I was like, oh, I'll just grab this, and if it works, I'll digitize these videos, and if not, I'm not even going to worry about this again. But continue, Andy, I'm sorry.
And then he mentions how Fran is being overly complicated, because we love when Fran is overly complicated. It's kind of it's content for us. We love making fun of Fran. We love Fran, and it's so easy to make those jokes. And he mentioned this to Tim, and Tim goes, it is better video quality. Like, he is right. And then Nick, I see it in his eye, he goes, son of a bitch. And then you know the next fucking day he has to spend, bro, like, what you did can, you spend on this?
You can watch, by the way, it just came in today. You can watch that episode. I stop talking and start going on eBay to find an S video out VHS player for $100 after shipping all this stuff. I think it was like $140. Now, to be fair though, and I bought it, I believe, out of my own money, I think. Greg also wants to use this for his old wrestling videos, which I think is great. So
also,
if we can figure out how to make that and put those online, it could be a company expense and I'll reimburse myself.
What's up,
there was a little bit more like of us breaking him down. We had done a show earlier that he was on where me and one other person, like he told that story and we were like, well, I'm pretty sure that is how you record the best quality.
Got it.
And he was like, I'm like, you should probably think about that. And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, get one of the top loading VHS.
I wanted one of those. Like, those are always my favorite ones.
Those are the cool ones. Drucker, do you ever see yourself leaving New York?
I mean, I lived in LA for a little bit. You know, before I got this job, I was in LA for a little bit. Yeah, I can leave New York again. I like New York a lot, though. I like living in New York, but I will go wherever there's work, man. I like to work.
Go ahead, Greg Miller. Kind of funny.
Thank you very much. You mentioned earlier you go and you walk around Central Park. Can you see Dana Barrett's apartment from Ghostbusters real easily?
That's so cool. Such a cool question.
I think that building's not a real building.
Actually, it's a real building, Drucker. They put a matte painting on top, so it doesn't have like the gargoyles and shit. But like, it's there. Hey, all right.
Then I didn't recognize it without its face on.
Drucker, we're gonna need you to go out right now and take a picture of that building and come right back.
Tim, tell him how to get that thing where he can switch the disc. He can go walk around and film it and broadcast it back here.
Would you consider yourself one of these New Yorkers that like, if I were to go and do the Michael Scott thing of, you know, gotta eat, but you know, New York's finest, and I'm going at a Sbarro. Would you judge me?
No, because I've been to Sbarro so many times. I've like been drunk in
hell yeah, you have.
Like a lot of comedy clubs when I used to do a lot of stand up are close to Times Square, close to like Sbarro's, and it's 2 a.m. and you're drunk. You get Sbarro's. Yeah. I'm fine with that. All
right. No,
you talk about 2 a.m., you talk about comedy clubs. How has this year of COVID affected both, I guess, New York and comedy, and I guess and a third one too, like, you know, making the show for Samantha Bee?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sort of like you guys, where I'm lucky enough that making a talk show you can make remotely. So we only had 1 week interruption in our entire cycle last year.
Wow.
So it's harder on other shows. You know, I have friends who write on sitcoms that, like, you know, they'll work for 10 weeks in the room writing it still during pandemic, but then they're waiting months and months to see if and when they come back at all to tape it, or if they're not going to come to tape it. And that affects people's pay. You know what I mean? Like when you have to break up the room that far apart. Mm-hmm. So it's been hard, and a lot of clubs are suffering, and it's sort of this catch-22 because a lot of clubs are suffering, but then some douchier clubs are doing shows, but they keep having giant COVID outbreaks at them.
Yeah.
So it's kind
Didn't Dave Chappelle just get COVID through one of the shows that he was doing? Maybe not through one of the shows, but he got COVID accurately.
In Texas, yeah.
In Texas.
Because Texas laws are so lax on all this dumb shit, and all the comedians are like, let's go do shows in Texas, because like, it's the Wild West out there. Yeah.
It's been hard on comedy. My question before that, though, like before pandemic times, are you still hitting the clubs? Are you still going in that scene?
I was like planning on touring a bit more last year, and then the pandemic didn't happen, and I got to be like, all right, well, I'm fine.
Don't need to worry.
That's been the weirdest thing for me is like comedy. Obviously, it just takes so much energy out of your day, and part of the fact that I haven't been able to do it, because you know the people are still doing Zoom shows and stuff. And I'm not sure if you've done any of those, but
I've done it, yeah.
They're just heartbreakingly bad.
They're so bad.
It's been so interesting, like seeing how I've reacted, like feeling the reaction of the first and foremost, just utter relief that I don't have to go. I don't have to be on stage. I don't have to risk that pain that is inevitably going to come with either rejection and or, you know, I do a little bit of success and I want more of it. But then also, you know, you just miss it. Things started to open back up and I got invited to a show tomorrow night on top of a parking lot where literally people don't even get out of their cars. They space the cars out. And they have a device where they can just hear you
Mike
in their
shaking
car.
His head as violently as possible.
And I'll be honest with you, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to drive down to Santa Cruz and park on the parking structure, wear a mask, and just stay 20 feet away from people just to kind of have that experience again. And I know it's going to be fucking terrible.
It's going to be terrible. Oh, my Lord.
It's going to be brutal. Because you can't, I mean, there's nothing, apparently they're supposed to honk if they think it's funny.
No, yes.
That's what they do. They honk.
They honk. Yep.
I watched the Joe Biden conferences he did with the people I honk when they agree with you.
What a great stand-up set that was.
Oh, God. Do you think we ever get back to, you know, the Cellar or Catch a Rising Star? Do you think we ever get back to those tiny little intimate, everyone's crammed in clubs?
I think so, because I think in, you know, whether it's a year or at the end of this year when we have enough vaccinated herd immunity, I feel like there's going to be a lot of rubber banding back to people wanting to do those things. Like, I feel like there's going to be a period of movie theaters having a giant boom, of restaurants having a giant boom, after which it'll probably subside back to normal. But I see a lot of that shit really doing well the moment people feel safe, and they actually are.
Oh my God, Outback Steakhouse is going to be fucking nuts, dude. Oh my God, I can't wait.
We're definitely going
to
go.
I can't wait to get to the Outback Steakhouse when we all finally take blessing like we were supposed to do in week two of employment. And there's bodyguards, and it's just lines out the back of the door. And it's like, dude, this is a crazy. Yeah. Can I get in? Do you know anybody? Yeah, I know. I know Steve. He's out back. He's out back.
He's out back.
Here's how that's really going to go. We're all going to go there. We're going to be the only people at the restaurant, and it's going to be one human being working there. And that person's going to be so overworked because nobody decided to staff up.
That's cool. Greg's mac and cheese will still be frozen.
And dude, that Outback is one of the last holdouts that I'm like, I can't believe it's still there. In fact, I don't even know it is still there. Like, we have to look it up now.
The Outback,
but if it survives by the time this is all over, I'm going to be shocked.
Well, it's crazy, right? Because we just go ahead. Go ahead, Kev.
I was gonna say, can we make a promise we're gonna go there every week?
No.
Every week.
We're gonna go there once. We're gonna realize how borderline bad Outback Steakhouse is, and we're never gonna go back for another year. It's gonna be great.
It's still open, guys. We're good.
I'm glad.
Yeah, closes the dining at 9 room p.m.
is I miss it.
Yeah, we can order now.
Thank you.
Is the Buffalo Wild Wing still open, and can we go wait there for 17 hours and never get service?
That place is still open, and surprisingly, the delivery not that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it's
delivery. Like, so delivery, everything is a step. Nothing is better delivered. Period.
No, but I will say that delivered wings are absolutely worse than everything else that can be delivered.
Well, because you like those halal wings. They came crispy.
That's the only place.
Don't get me wrong. I'm with you as a wing eater. I'm with you, Andy. I agree with you on this. We're just saying, put it up.
I ordered a pizza from Pachi's down in Fillmore.
I hate that fucking place. That fucking cardboard pizza. I know it was free.
No, it was fair. But I kind of want pizza, and the only place that was I could think of really was like Pachi's, even though it's so stupid because I live next to like 15 pizza places. But I'm like, I'm gonna go there, and my wife wanted the wings from there. And I'm like, I'm gonna pick it up because I feel like having a pizza delivered from Pachi's right now is a terrible idea. And I went down there, and it was chaos. And I saw guys go to get the order that they were supposed to be delivering with like through DoorDash or Postmates or whatever, as you know, as the actual, you know, the delivery guys.
Yeah.
And they were just being turned away because it was one guy working in the Pachi's and one cook, and there were tickets everywhere. And I'm like, this was just a terrible idea. And it ended up taking me like 35 minutes of waiting there because they had forgotten to make half my order. And I'm like, why do I even? I just don't even want to see any of this. I just want the thing to show up in my house or not show up in my house. That's fine.
Think about it on the other side. Your driver shows up and they've forgotten half of it. So then he's waiting, and then you get pissed at the driver and you fucking two-star him when he shows up with his shit.
I mean, there's been multiple times where I've ordered stuff through Postmates. And again, I'm not a horrible problem to have, but that just never came. One of them got picked up, never came. And I was like, I'm tracking the guy. And all of a sudden I see his car go from like the four blocks away. Then it starts going south. Then it crosses into Soma. Then it starts going to. I'm like, I think he's running. He's absconding with my food.
This man's
stealing my sweet potato fries.
He's like, it's not worth it.
No, you can't get mad. I mean, like, that's the thing too. Is like everything's extenuating circumstances right now. You got to just have extra patience with everything and just be like, whatever. You know, we got our health. We're all gainfully employed. That's all that counts. That's all that matters.
Trucker.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We got a post show. I forget. Did I give you? Do you have a hard out? Do you want to do the post show with us? You got time for that?
I can do a post show with you. Sure.
Beautiful. Before we switch over to that, though, where can people get your book?
People can get my book, Silent Hill 2. You can get it digitally on Amazon if you want it on Kindle. You can also get it digitally and physically from BossFightBooks.com, which is the publisher, and buying from the publisher helps them a lot more. So please do that.
It's $4.95. What? Come on, everybody.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I'm getting one right now.
Nice.
Yeah, they're so cool looking, by the way. I want to give a shout out to the design of all of these. They're very nice.
Yeah,
it makes you want to collect every single one of them.
Yeah. Outside of the book, where can people keep up with you, Mike?
You can follow me on Twitter at Mike Drucker, MikeDrucker, on Instagram at Mike Drucker is dead, which is mostly photos of Christmas trees and
it's video. My favorite time of year. I love it. Dude, I love it nothing more. When you're in that ramp up in that final Christmas week, I'm like, oh, it's going to start soon.
It's going to happen.
Dead, discarded trees.
Dead trees.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Remember, twice a week, 4, sometimes 5, best friends gather on these microphones, coming to bullshit with each other and you. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where we're about to do the post show. You can write in with your questions, of course. You can get the show ad-free, and you can just support us. If you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. I am jacked up on fried chicken ice cream. Let's do a post show. I can feel it. You know what I mean? The energy. It's not Busan energy, Andy.
I'm feeling this. I'm feeling the coffee, dude.
So jealous.